Good morning. Welcome to Portland Bible Church. Welcome to all our visitors and friends that have joined with us this morning. I'm Pastor Gary Glennie. This is Portland Bible Church, our virtual church. If you're here, you're on Facebook. If you want someone to find us, we're on Judy Glennie's Facebook page, and so you can go there. A lot of other interesting things there as well, having to do with her books that she has written, but we're on there live. Our classes here at Portland Bible Church are at 10 o'clock right now on Sunday morning and 11:15. So we'll take a little break after the first session. We'll try to be back here promptly at 11:15. So that gives you time to get a little snack and be back and join us at 11:15 this morning. Thursday, we have class at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. And then we have our prayer time after that. So we encourage you to have some time of prayer either before class on Thursday or even after class today or at the break. Anytime, I think, while we're home, this is a great time to have family altar and prayer with your spouse and your children and whoever is there with you. So this is a time that we need to certainly be prayerful for our country, for those who've been involved in the virus and those who are taking care of the folks that have this dilemma. Also, we have the webpage, portlandbiblechurch.com. You can go there for any of the audios. We have audios going back about 10 years, a variety of subjects. We also have printed material, about 70 plus studies that are there for all different Bible subjects. You can download those or read them at your pleasure. And so if you want to go to portlandbiblechurch.com. If you are new or if you desire to support the ministry of Portland Bible Church, the way we're doing it now is that you can send the check to me, Gary Glennie, but then note on the outside of the envelope, Portland Bible Church. I'll be sure to give it to our deacons so they can take care of it and deal with the finances of the church. Make sure you make your check out to Portland Bible Church, not to me. I don't handle the money at all. It goes right to the ministry. So the address that you can send it is on the website. On the homepage, you have my phone number, so you can call me if you can't find it, or you can go to the contact section, and that has the address. Do not send it to the Portland address. Nothing is going there. We're not meeting in Portland right now, even though we're Portland Bible Church. We're meeting at my home. So you can do that, and that, I think, covers the announcements. I had one other thing, and that is that I do now have the book we had ordered and told you about. This is Disaster, an appropriate book. But this is Moses Amobiko, one of the missionaries that we support financially and prayerfully. And so these books are in. If you have not received one and you'd like one, we send these out free. This is our grace gift to you. And so you can have those. I'll mail one to you. The other one is in process. I haven't received it yet. It's called The Watchman on the Wall out of Ezekiel. And we are today the Watchman on the Wall. And what that means is that we need to be warning our neighbors, friends, family, our nation that the Lord is displeased with the behavior of this country and, for that matter, of the world. And so it behooves us who know the Lord Jesus Christ to make the gospel clear to our unsaved friends and those of us who are saved that we live the kind of life that is pleasing to the Lord so that we might regain the blessing of God. So those are available to you. You certainly have the opportunity, give me a call, write to me, we'll send those right out to you. It's always customary for us to take a few moments at the beginning of each of our Bible studies for silent prayer. This gives you the opportunity to acknowledge any sins that you're aware of to the Father, whereby those sins have been forgiven based on the work of the cross. But we need to do this periodically, and the Scripture is clear that believers need to confess their sins. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, we, believers, if we confess our sins, that's name them to God, count them up, kind of go through them in your mind, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this is for believers. Once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you can simply acknowledge any sins that you're aware of. Keep in mind that the Holy Spirit will bring them to your mind if you have any sin. And even during class, if something comes up and knocks you off course in terms of a mental sin, just confess that sin and move right back into the study of the Word of God. So we take time now for that function so that you're prepared for the study of the Word of God, and then I'll conclude with oral prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your grace. We're grateful for this country. We're grateful for the blessing that you've given us over many, many decades. We pray now that we would recognize that you are the source of all that blessing. We would not forget, and therefore that we would give you the honor and the glory for all those things that we have. Father, we pray that you would cause our nation to be revived in terms of its understanding, certainly of establishment principles, those principles delineated in your word, and also those who know you in a personal way, that they would come to the fore and become the watchman on the wall to warn the rest of our nation so that they might come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us then as a nation to recover. Help us this morning as we study in your word to be edified of soul and to glorify you in all things. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Scripture is clear. It says, if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Let my cry come before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you will, open this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes. We are actually studying the book of Galatians. We're in the last chapter. We had some time out because we had, not because we had to sit in the corner, although I guess we think we're sitting in the corner now of our houses, but we looked at some interesting things. The subject that we studied was faith as the antidote to fear. We looked at many passages there. We looked at Numbers 20, Moses and the fiery serpent, where they looked at the serpent on the pole that had been pierced on the pole, and that they were delivered from that plague that was coming to them through the bite of serpents. We looked at the young men in the fiery furnace, how they were delivered. Even though they weren't sure they would, they knew that the Lord could, and it turned out that he did in Daniel 3. And then we looked at Esther and her faith in the Lord, that when she went into the king, she would not be executed. Sounds kind of odd, but you had to be summoned by the king, and so she kind of peeped in the door, and she said, you know, if I die, I die. And of course, that's a great episode of faith in the book of Esther. So we looked at those. We also had Palm Sunday and discussed the chronology of the Passion Week, and we had Resurrection Sunday. Many of you call it Easter. We believe it's Resurrection Sunday, so we stay away from the pagan traditions. So all these things we've been looking at over the past few weeks, and we are back in Galatians, and also on Thursday, if you join us, we're in the book of Psalms, and we're in that most appropriate psalm, Psalm 23. We just finished the passage that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me, and we discovered that not only is he with me, or with us, but in this dispensation, the Lord himself is within us. We have the indwelling of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What a magnificent thing in this period of human history. And so we are in this place in Galatians, and basically if I had to give it a subject title for this first class this morning, it would be time. And of course the function of time is we live in time moment by moment, and what we do in time is important not just for the activities surrounding us in our own day or even in future days on earth, but for eternity. And so the scriptures tell us clearly that we are purchasing or buying up the time over in Ephesians chapter 5, because the days are evil. There's a lot of evil in the world today, and we don't have to tell you where that evil is. It's obvious. It's all around us. Many people actually will tell you that, oh, I think we're in the kingdom. Well, I don't see that in the scriptures anywhere. The kingdom will be a time of perfect peace on the earth when the Lord is reigning here on earth. I don't think we're there yet. Some people say that we're going to make the world better and better. I look outside and I don't see it. The world is beautiful, but the people and the circumstances and the tests that we have make it an ugly place in many cases. So the beauty has to come from the Lord and has to be within each one of us. At any rate, I'm looking at a passage of scripture here that came to mind while I was studying in Galatians. And some of you say, are we going to get to Galatians? Yeah, we're going to get there. But as I'm having so much time to study, and I thank the Lord for that, He's given me more time than I've ever had, day and night just studying the Word. I hope you're doing that, by the way. Read your scriptures, get off the TV, get in the Word, memorize passages, study the things that we have. I say we got 10 years of teaching available just on our website alone. And many of my colleagues are doing the same thing out there, and they're doing a magnificent job, and our congregation has expanded many fold. At any rate, the passage in Ecclesiastes that came to mind is chapter 3. And I did want to read a portion of that. A lot of times in churches, they will read a portion of scripture to introduce the subject. So when it comes to time, this is probably the most appropriate subject dealt with in all of the Bible with regard to time. And here it is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon bemoans some of the things that he's tried in life and has had difficulty, even though he has blessing. Many of those blessings turned into discipline and cursing, and he couldn't get happiness because he recognized at the end of it, if you read the end of the book, he says the most important thing is to honor the Lord and to love Him, and that's the end of the whole thing. And so if we're trying to find happiness any place but in the Word of God and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to miss the mark. At any rate, it says there is an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. And that verse is really important, first of all, and we'll come back to it a little bit later, because there's two words in the Hebrew for time. One of them has to do with the chronology of time, that is today and then tomorrow and the next day, what I'm going to do, and I set out a schedule, I'd like to do this, and sometimes I have an appointment, I have to make an appointment, then I have another one later, and so forth. That's the chronology time, and that's basically what we have, an appointed time. And so he says that there's an appointed time. In Israel, of course, they had feasts, seven feasts of Israel. They went up to Israel three times, to Jerusalem, three times a year. Those were the appointed time. At the time, the Passover, and then the feast of the Pentecost time in June, month of Sivan, and then also the winter or fall feasts in September, October, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So they had these appointed times, and they came chronologically through the year. But the second word there, and there is a time for every event under the heavens, that word is different in both the Hebrew and in the Greek. And that'll take us back into our passage in Galatians. So I do have a place, I'm going somewhere with all this, so bear with me. But the point is, we have chronology. In fact, the Greek word is chronos for chronology, and the other word, kairos, means a time increment. And he's talking here all through this section, going down basically through verse 13, about time increments. Every day has a time, not just chronologically, but a portion of time set aside for every activity. Have a time to get up, time to put on your clothes, time to eat breakfast, and those times are cyclical day after day. Hopefully you brush your teeth, do all those other things, and we do them certainly in a chronological order many times. For example, you put your clothes on before you go outside. You wouldn't want to reverse the chronology there. But there's a time. There's a time for everything. And so he goes through, and each one of these is that time increment. And that's what we're going to see when we get to Galatians, that we are to take every time increment right now, this hour, this time increment, this minute, these minutes that are passing, this time increment is for the Lord. It is for us to focus on the Lord, to have fellowship with the Lord, and even though at a distance, fellowship one with the other. And so here's what he says. There's a time to give birth. And there's a time to die. That makes perfect sense, obviously. God brings us into this life, and He takes us out. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. In other words, the harvest. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. People say, time to kill? Well, this is not murder. This is execution. And God is clear about execution. I won't get into a whole thing on that right now. But those who commit murder in the Old Testament, first-degree murder, were executed. And so there's a time and been in combat to defend your nation, the military, law enforcement. So there's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to tear down and a time to build up. Many times old structures are so bad that they can't be renovated, so they tear them down and instead they put up a brand new edifice in its place. So you get the idea. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. For some of us, with the illness now, it's a time for weeping. We've lost loved ones. In the past, we've lost a son. Many of you have lost friends and colleagues, and it's a time of weeping. And then there's a time for joy and laughter, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Well, we can't dance right now because the dance studio is closed. Some of you know that we dance at Arthur Murray, and so we have to kind of dance in our living room now. At any rate, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Dancing there stands for joy as well. There's a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. Well, in the ancient world, the weaponry many times was a little less sophisticated. They would throw stones. Even executions were done by having stones thrown at someone, stoning to death and so forth. So it has to do with combat and discipline. But then there's a time to gather stones and to build things up. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up for lost. You know, maybe when you lose something and you look all over the house, you can't find it, and you just give it up, and 2 days later, there it is right in front of you. You say, how did I miss that? So, you know, we search for things, and sometimes we just have to say, hey, it's gone. Get over it. Move on. And so we have all these wonderful principles here, but obviously there are two sides of the coin, a seemingly good side and a seemingly not so good side as well. A time to keep and a time to throw away. I know. My wife's looking at me right now, and she's thinking of what's in the garage in the attic. We need to throw some of that stuff out. And I'm a pack rat. I don't know about you, but I like to keep everything. And she says, are you going to use this? I go, well, I haven't used it for a few years, but I might need it. She says, let's get rid of it. I go, but then I'll need it. So there's a time to keep and a time to throw away, keeping our priorities. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. Sometimes when you have old clothes, you just shred them, but sometimes you have to tear out a seam and then re-sew it a little bit better. So all of these have certainly many applications. A time to be silent and a time to speak. I think now is the time to speak out for the Lord and not to be silent. We don't have to be hateful in our speech. We simply love with the Lord in our lives and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's a time to speak. This is not the time to be silent and set back. A time to love and a time to hate. What we are to hate is evil, the things that God hates. We don't hate the people. We hate the evil that has overcome people, and that's what we see in many cases. So love is the dominant. We see it as the primary commandment of the Lord. After loving the Lord is to love your neighbor as yourself. James calls it the royal law, loving one another. Jesus said, if you love one another, this is how they will know that you are my disciples. A time for war and a time for peace. And then I wanted to finish out with just a few verses here. Verse 9, what profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? So what's the big deal with work? Right now, a lot of people are out of work. And I think most of us wanted to be back to work. Fortunately, the Lord allows me to work because I work from home anyhow, but many people have to go places and do things that are not able to do it. And so he says, well, what's the benefit from that? He said, I've seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. So if you're home now, a good time to do all those home chores, husbands, for your wife, all those honeydews that you've been putting off. We've been getting a lot of stuff done at our house, I'll tell you. Things that I haven't done for months. I'll take care of that. So this may be the time to do those jobs, to occupy yourself. Verse 11, he has made everything appropriate in its time. So we're in a time. Most people have to stay home or near home and not do a lot of things. So make the most of this time. Utilize this to the glory of God and to develop those things that you feel are necessary to occupy yourself. And everything has an appropriate time. He has also set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. And yet, even though we know there's a beginning and an end, a time to be born and time to die, yet we know that there's eternity. What's that all about? And the only people who really understand that are the people who know the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have eternity in focus. We know we're going to be with the Lord forever. But even the unsaved think, what about eternity? What am I going to just be out of existence, or will I be somewhere? Well, the scripture says that the unbelievers will be separated from God in a very horrible place. But we as believers in Jesus Christ will be with the Lord forever. So we have eternity whether we're believers or unbelievers. The only question is, where are you going to be? And so fabulous passages here. And he says in verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Do good in one's lifetime. That's going to bring us right back to Galatians, and that's what Paul tells the Galatian believers, because there is much reward from the Lord by doing good. That brings us right back. And then the last verse, he says, moreover, kind of summarizing these verses, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It's the gift of God. What a powerful statement. So again, this is a subject of time. And just when I was studying in Galatians chapter 6, I was thinking time. And this passage came immediately to mind. I would read it again if you want. Your homework, you can read all of Ecclesiastes. But we wanted to focus on this particular passage. Okay. We'll go over now to Galatians. So for those who wondered when we're going to get there, we're going to be there right now. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Galatians and chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 is the last chapter in this particular epistle, possibly the earliest epistle that Paul wrote, around 49 A.D. The earliest one is probably the book of James in 45 to 47. AD. So these are very early, and yet Paul has so many marvelous things to say here. He was dealing with the problem of the human works among the Jewish people who had come to faith in Christ, and they were still hanging on to the traditions of Judaism, and they were not recognizing that Jesus was the Messiah, long promised throughout the whole Old Testament. And so they had great difficulty, and they used circumcision as kind of the whipping boy, if you will, because they wanted to get all the Gentiles circumcised, kind of bring them into Judaism. And Paul said, no, that's part of the tradition from Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. And Abraham got the covenant before he was even circumcised. That was simply an indication of the promise that God had made to him, and therefore that was the promise specifically in the Abrahamic covenant. At any rate, that comes up again. We have this idea of circumcision that's perhaps people don't like to talk about. It's kind of an embarrassing thing, but Paul has no problem with it. I think he mentions about 16 times in this short epistle. So it is important to him. We don't think about it much today, but it was the idea that it was a work that somehow gained favor with God, almost a mystical spiritual thing, and you needed to have that to be in the inner circle. And Paul says, no, what we need to have is the circumcision of the heart. Even the Old Testament said, yeah, you got circumcision, but what you need is a circumcision of the heart. We're going to talk a little bit about that in Galatians, again, in chapter 6 as we get there. In verse 9, over there, we see the fact that we have this idea of time coming up. And so, if you go down, let's go down here to verse 8. And it says here, for the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but to the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. If we sow to the Spirit, that is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we reap eternal life. Eternal life is not just living forever. That's true. Eternal life is something you possess at the moment of salvation, and it is enhanced throughout this life, but it's not complete, because eternal life has with it a resurrection body, a new body that's going to be indestructible. indestructible that we will have for all of eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm much looking forward to that as I advance in years to the senior category and some of the joints don't work as they used to. And I have to admit, I've worn a lot of parts out lifting weights, but I'm looking forward to that resurrection body. So eternity and eternal life includes this great package, which will have a resurrection body and rewards. We're going to see that in our second hour this morning. We're going to look at the study of rewards in Scripture, the things God has given to believers because of meritorious service as a believer. It doesn't change your salvation. It simply augments it as a decoration, you might say. It's kind of like the Medal of Honor. All soldiers serve in the military, but some receive the Medal of Honor for valor above and beyond the normal call of duty. And so there are rewards for believers in Scripture clearly taught. By the way, both the Old and New Testament, many, many passages, about 20 or so, specifically for both Old Testament saints and church age saints. It's amazing. And some people have no concept of this idea of rewards. And they say, well, once saved, always saved. Well, once you get saved, you don't have to do anything. Au contraire, as a believer, we are expected to do good works. And we talked about it in Ecclesiastes. We're going to see it again. It even says here in verse 8, sowing to the Spirit, not just through faith alone in Christ alone, but sowing to the Spirit moment by moment, day by day. Today, right now, you are sowing Bible seeds into the Spirit, your human spirit, and the Spirit that God has given to you, producing and enhancing this eternal life that you possess. And here it is in verse 9, and let us not lose heart in doing good. For here it is, in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. That's where we come in. And some of you remember way back when we were doing this. I think we looked at a little bit of it last time, but I'm not sure if we really got into it much. And so doing good here, in this particular context, the word for doing good, doing is the normal word in Greek, poieo, means to do or produce. But the word for good or good works is kalos. And I think I've talked about it. If I had the overhead, I just can't get it set up here very well. When we get back to a building, we'll put some of these words up. But kalos, K-A-L-O-S in the Greek, where we get the word color. Color is visible. You see the colors of the spectrum and so forth. And so it's visible production. And so he's talking here about doing good deeds. Over in Philippians 4, verse 8, it talks about doing things that are excellent. As a believer, we ought to strive for excellence in everything that we do. And so everything that you touch, everything that you think, everything that you do, everything that you say should be with an idea towards doing excellence. Excellence is the key. Someone has said, give God what is right, not what is left. In other words, you give God your best. Give him what's right to give to him, not what's left over after everything else. That's the whole idea of giving. That's the whole idea of living a life of excellence. And if you live a life of excellence in the world, as unto the Lord, you will reap the benefits not only in this life and promotions and those kinds of things, but rewards in eternity that will be incredible. So that's kind of where we were, what we looked at. And then he says, let's not weaken. Do not weaken. And the word there is egg kakeo. Egg means ego. Ego is the word for I or me. And kakeo means evil. And so it's the idea there, we might translate it today as my bad, you know. And so it's the idea, do not be weakened. Do not be, oh my, oh, that was bad. I did something, my bad, you know, that kind of thing. Don't be embittered. Don't be despairing. Don't lose heart is how they translate it here. Don't weaken because in its own time we will reap. When is that? When will we reap? You say, well, if I start a business, maybe I'll reap. Well, people started business, now they're losing it. They go, well, that didn't work out too well. He's talking about eternity here. It's all about eternity. We saw that up in the verse 8 at the end. Eternity. The reaping is not necessarily in this life. Oh, some of it, sure. But the reaping is going to be in eternity when the Lord gives us our rewards and our inheritance. For us in this dispensation, we believe that's at the judgment seat of God. Christ will be the judge. All judgment has been given to him by the Father because of his victory on the cross. So he will be the one who evaluates our works at this judgment seat. In the Greek, the word is the bema. In the ancient world, that was where the judge sat. And he would set up on a platform and judge those who came before him to adjudicate the law. And so the Lord will evaluate us, not for eternal life. That's guaranteed by faith alone, in Christ alone. But evaluating our work so that we can have enhanced rewards in eternity, in addition to eternal life, resurrection body, and just being with the Lord forever. But special rewards. Some of that has to do with rulership in that future kingdom here on earth. So a lot more to be said about that. Now, in its own time, the word here, time, is the word Kairos. It means a period of time, an increment of time, like the hour or two that we have this morning. That period of time, your focus now is on the Word of God and on the Lord Himself. That's the objective. Oh, maybe you see my face up here, but you're to focus not on me, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. It just gives you a place to look, I suppose, and more people can view the Facebook page, and so that's great. And I just praise the Lord for all those who have joined with us. This same word time in the Hebrew we saw over in Ecclesiastes 3 was a time to live and a time to die, a time to be born. It's the same word, the Hebrew counterpart, of course, for that over there. But here it's this time increment. There are increments of time. Oh yes, there's a time passing, there's a chronology, what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day, and hope we get back to work, hope the country gets back on track, and the economy starts picking up. That's the chronology. But right now, what are we doing? We have a time. And so he says, don't weaken, because in its own time, there's a time when we'll have evaluation in the future. So what we do now in time increments has a direct impact on that time when we stand before the Lord. And right now it seems like, well, I don't know when that's going to happen. Might be 1,000 years, might be next week, might be today. But it's going to happen. You know how when you're expecting something, maybe a birthday party or Christmas or whatever it is, a wedding, and you plan and you plan and you plan and you look forward to it, and then here it is. And here it is, and there you are. I remember my wedding day. You're walking down the aisle, you go, here it is. And that's what's going to happen. One day, we're going to stand before the Lord and look at each other and say, here we are. Boy, man, gets me excited. Anyway, so he says, we will reap. And reap there, of course, is the rewards. Now, we're going to look at passages dealing with that in the second session. So there are many passages, both in the Old and New Testament, and so we will not spend time at this moment. We'll come back in the next time. We might look at one here just to give you an idea, kind of a taste, and that is Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. Just kind of slip over there if you can. The end of your Bible, Revelation 22:12. And here we have, again, much of Revelation deals with the future, from chapter 5 on through 19, deals with the tribulation of the future, not pertinent to us. But he comes back to the future when we are with him in chapter 22. And in chapter 22, verse 12, he says, behold, I'm coming quickly. And people say, well, he didn't come quickly in the first century, so I could develop a whole hour on this concept of quickly in terms of God. With God, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. So quick with God is not necessarily quick with us. Moses was quickly in the promised land. Not so much. Took him 40 years and then he didn't even get in. And so that wasn't too quick. And so God's time sometimes is not like our time. And he says, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's addressing that not only to believers in this time period, but all human history, and there will be a time for rewards for us, judgment seat of Christ or God, for the Old Testament saints, tribulational martyrs at the end of the tribulation, second advent, and although it's not spelled out specifically, I think at the end of the kingdom, all the millennial saints will receive their rewards as well. So in its own time, each in its own time. Ours at the rapture, second advent for Old Testament saints, tribulation martyrs, end of the millennium for the millennial saints and their rewards in their own time, he says, and that is if we are not fainting, if we do not faint. I like the word here for faint. It's ek luo. It's a pretty simple word in the Greek. Ek means out of. Luo means to loose. Roughly translated, it means lose out. And so we reap if we don't lose out. Lose out on what? Lose out on rewards. Lose out on buying up the time. And that is day by day, and not just day by day chronologically, but moment by moment by moment. The time increments. And so that's the important thing. Don't lose out. We see over in 2 Corinthians 4:1. Just go over there quickly. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Here it says, therefore, Paul uses that, meaning that he's concluding a section, probably should be with chapter 3, but he puts it here, and so he's going to go on with his discussion. But the point is, it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, the ministry has to do with the grace ministry and the gospel of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, God's given us mercy by allowing us to join the family by faith in Christ, we do not lose out. We do not lose heart. And so, as a believer, we should not lose heart. We have eternity coming up. We have a resurrection body. We have potential rewards. Let's get busy. Be doing those things which are pleasing to the Lord, doing those things which are excellent in mind, in word, and in deed. Excellence is the key word. Remember Philippians 4:8. And so we have this, and as one pastor said, in the Christian life, there are winners and losers. And so when I first heard that, I thought, well, nobody's a loser in the Christian life. Well, right here it says you can be a loser. Christians can be a loser in the sense, even though they're eternally saved, they're going to be with the Lord forever, they miss out on blessing. The scripture also tells us, don't let anybody steal your reward. Make sure that when you come into the presence of the Lord at that judgment seat of God, that you have a full reward. And so this idea of once saved, always saved is true. There's more to it. That's just the beginning. Day by day and moment by moment, we are producing those honorable deeds so that we are buying up the time so that we have a full reward. Don't let anybody steal or distract you from your rewards. And so this word ek luo, to lose out, means to become weary, to be a slacker. that reminds me of the movie I saw recently again. You might have seen these, the trilogy of Back to the Future. If you don't, it'll be on Netflix. They have them periodically. I just saw it again. I love that movie. Certainly, it's well done. Of course, we can't go back to the future or back to the past, but the puns in there are just incredible. Even the Dr. Emmett Smith. Emmett is time backwards, E-M-I-T-T-I-M-E. Emmett Smith, he's the doctor that invented the time machine in that movie, Back to the Future. And so, if you're like me, a fan of science fiction, that to me is one of the all-time greats. Christopher Lloyd was the doctor there. Reminded me of Dr. John Ziegler, one of my friends back in the weightlifting days. And John was, every time I see Dr. Emmett Smith in the movie, I think of Dr. John. He was just as crazy. He had those goggles he would put on. And so if you haven't seen it, it's a real hoot. At any rate, you know, Michael J. Fox is there, and he's Marty McFly, and Christopher Lloyd, he's Dr. Emmett Smith, and it's Back to the Future. And so this always makes me think of that in terms of this idea of not being a slacker. The principal of the school, every time something would happen, he'd come in, you're a slacker, like your father was a slacker. And so this is the idea. Don't be a slacker with regard to the Word of God. Don't be a slacker with regard to your production in this life. Be a doer, not just a hearer of the Word, but a doer. Don't be a slacker. Don't lose out. Don't be a loser as a believer. Unbelievers are going to lose out. They're losers anyway. And that's unfortunate. We're bringing the gospel so that the unsaved will not be losers and lose out on eternal life, resurrection body, and potential rewards. But believers can be losers too. And sadly today, we have a lot of believers who are losers in that they are losing out on rewards because they are not producing a life of excellence. They do not think in terms of excellence. They do not talk in terms of excellence. They do not do in terms of excellence. Well, that's verse 9, and I think I've beat that one to death about time. So time is where it happens. And right now we're in that time when we need to do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. And again, the other passage was Ephesians 5:16. Make sure you note that. Ephesians 5:16. Buy up the time. It means, like, you can go and buy time. How do you buy time? By using it. Using it as unto the Lord, doing those things that are pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 5:16. That's that word kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. It means time increments. Yes, we'll do something tomorrow and the next day, but buy up the time right now, this moment, this hour, this period of time. Okay, well, that's verse 9. Let's move on, finally, to Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10. I like this. Paul's coming down the home stretch, and just like in the other passage where he said, therefore, here he says, then, therefore. In other words, big punctuation. The Greek word ara means then. It's called an inferential particle. It means in terms of the next thing in what I want to present. And he's actually going to go back to circumcision. So if you thought we got away from that, we didn't, because he's still having a problem with the Judaizers who want everybody that's saved by faith alone in Christ alone, through grace alone. He wants them to do works and fulfill the Mosaic covenant and by all means get circumcised. And Paul just wants these Galatians to understand that we are in a new dispensation, the dispensation of grace. And the work that we need to do is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him and His Word and His Spirit to enable us to produce all those things that we need to do in this life. And so he hasn't finished with the word time either. It says, then, therefore, as time permits, or as the time we have. The verb here, echo, in the Greek, present active indicative. In the Greek, we have a present tense, which means right now. The active voice means you are the one that has to do it. You have time. I have time. We all have time. Till the Lord calls us home, we are in time. And there's a time for all things. We saw it in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 13. We have time. And so he says, as we have time, we have this period of time, by the way, the word is kairos again, time increments. You have an increment of time. People say, I don't have time for that. You have time for everything that you desire to do. You have time for everything that God wants you to do. You should never tell somebody, I don't have enough time. You do. You just need to orient your time properly. God will allow you. Make a schedule. Make a budget. Set up. I have sticky notes all over the place. Do this, do this. And so however you need to do it, orient your time, but make sure God is first in your time increments, because you have time. You have time for prayer. You have time for Bible study. Many of you are having that right now. By the way, I talk to people that they're listening to me. They're listening to my colleague, Robbie Dean, and other people. John Hintz, all live streaming. It's just so great. In fact, I called and talked to many of them. They all had communion on Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah, what a great time. And so even though we have sadness and death and this virus and so much fear out there, there is so much hope and joy. And I'm just thrilled by what God is doing, hopefully to bring our nation back on track for Him, not just economically. We certainly hope for that. that. But whether he does or not, just like children in the fiery furnace, he can do it. Will he? Well, it kind of depends on the behavior of the people. If the people become believers, or the believers begin to use their time and produce excellence, he'll deliver our nation in its own time. And so as we have time, let us work the good. Here we have the verb in the Greek, which is ergazomai. Sounds like a great big Greek word. We have ergon, which is a unit of measure of force in physics, an erg. And so it has to do with production, doing things. It's again a participle, and it's present tense. It means ongoing action. Let us continually work. And so it is this idea that we are the ones who have to do the work. God gives us the Spirit. He gives us the Word of God. And so we have the tools. We have the divine operating assets. We have everything we need. All we need to do is do it. Do it. James says, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. So many Christians, well, oh, I got so many hours of studying the word of God, but are you doing anything with it? Is it producing fruit in your life? And so that's the issue here, doing good. The word good here is different. It's the other word. It's the all-inclusive word, agathos, not only including overt production, but the good you do in your soul, the good you do in what you say, the good you do in what you think. Agathos, good of intrinsic value, as well as good production, the kalos. So both are in view. Let us work the good. Let us work the good. The definite article indicates that the good is some specific work. Do the good thing, we might say. Let us do the good thing. Let us work the good thing. You may have a choice. I could do this, or I could do that. Which is the good thing? Do the good thing. You've got a choice. Do the good work. Don't do the one that's so-so, you know? And a lot of times we have a choice of things. Well, I could go here, or I could go there. Do the good work. Do the right one. Do the right thing, and that's the idea. All right, and it says what? Towards all men. Towards all men. Do the good towards all men. Of course, we might say that's the golden rule out of Matthew 7, 12 and Luke 6, 31. Golden rule, do unto others, basically as you would have them do unto you. I heard that just the other day, a secular person. I thought, that's out of the Bible. Oh, the golden rule. I go, who said that? Where'd that come from? We have so many things that people use that come out of the Bible. Oh, the apple of his eye. That's Bible. It's actually the pupil of God's eye. But, you know, we see people in secular society using all kinds of things. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I love that one. Hallelujah in Hebrew means praise the Lord. Unbelievers will say, hallelujah. And I go, amen, brother. And they're not even believers. They go, what? Huh? I go, you know what you just said? Well, yeah, I said hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. You know, you're praising my Lord and you don't even know it. So many things people quote out of Scripture because they just heard it, and they glorify God inadvertently, and God is honored and blessed even though they are unsaved and not knowing. Well, there are many other things that we could go through looking at this idea of the royal law, which is to love one another, and James 2:8 comes out of Leviticus 19:18 and many other passages. Maybe we'll have time to pick that up a little bit later. We got the first half of the verse here, and I wanted to just look at a passage here. Well, I think we're almost out of time for our first session. Maybe I should stop there. The idea is producing good works, making the most of your time. Now, we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to have a little snack out here. I hope you have some goodies there, a little bit of coffee. Please come back. We'll start again exactly at 11:15 this morning, and you can join us for the second half. We're going to look at the doctrine of rewards. That'll give you time, if you want to go to the website, and you can go in there, and under the doctrines, you can look up the doctrine of rewards. Freshly revised. We're going to look at it. I don't think we're going to do every verse, but you can use it as a study guide. Check every verse. See if I've made a mistake in there. If I did, let me know so we can edit it, and I've just finished editing again yesterday. So the doctrine of rewards, an important part of the Christian life. Well, as we close this first session, again, we want you to know that Jesus Christ had you personally in mind when he went to the cross and died nearly 2,000 years ago. And that by believing in his finished work on the cross, bearing your sins in mind, you can have everlasting life. Won't you do that? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Father, thank you now for this opportunity of studying this morning. We pray that we would indeed make the most of our time, as it were, buy up the time increments. You have provided us a time for everything in our life. Let us use that time wisely, that we might come into your presence and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and that we might not lose reward, but that we might get a full reward. For we pray it now in Christ's name. Amen.